Okay, tonight the question has to be asked. I'm just going to go ahead and get it out there right away. How many of you are ready for Thanksgiving? Yeah? How many of you still have to thaw something out, go buy something, make a trip to the store? Just remember to go to the store now that Pastor Seth said something, right? Yeah. I made, I don't know if it was the wise move or the mistake to go to Kroger's the last couple days, but let me just say I'm thankful to be with you tonight. So, this week, as I was preparing for this week and just giving time to the message that God would have us here tonight, I couldn't help but think back to our family's celebration back in Nebraska, and maybe it's this way for you as well. Our family gathers and or maybe descends on a small town in rural Nebraska, and as they do so, they bring with them a number of different dishes to the point where there's a grand buffet set before the people that are beginning to number in the upper 60s, low 70s in attendance. As I thought about that this week, I couldn't help but think back to what I would refer to as the stations of food. How many of you, as you think to your Thanksgiving celebrations from the past or maybe this week, have what you would consider to be stations of food, right? Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. Some of you are laughing, so I think we're on the same page. But so, for example, there's the turkey station, right? You can't have Thanksgiving without the big bird himself, right? Not the big yellow guy from Sesame Street, but the turkey, right? And of course, if you're in rural Nebraska, especially around the Cordes, you have to bring some kind of pork product, right? It almost puts you in a place to be removed from the family if you don't bring some kind of pork product. As I've shared with confirmation students in the past, we observe the major food groups, right? Ham, bacon, bratwursts, and so on. So you got to have the pork, right? And if that wasn't enough, there's also beef. We'll let the beef folks in and the chicken folks, we'll let them in too. But if that wasn't enough, if those stations weren't enough, you have the salad station. How many of you have the salad station at your spread, right? The fruit salad, the potato salad, the regular salad, and so on. Now you tell me, what station is missing up there? Okay, yep, exactly. You got it. The pies, the cookies, the cakes, and so on. All these great stations, right? Are you with me? Yeah. Well, how about a station for grace? How about in the middle of that whole spread of turkey and other animals that have made the platter, the salads and the desserts, what would it look like for a place of grace to be in your celebration this week? Maybe we can refine that question just a little bit tonight. What would it look like to actually be a place of grace? See, tonight, from our gospel reading from Luke chapter 17, Luke shares with us what it means to be a place of grace for other people. In this gospel text, and if you need to revisit it or open it up, I encourage you to do that once again. What we see Jesus doing here is being that, a mobilized grace place. Now, what we see Jesus doing more specifically is we see Jesus traveling in the course of his ministry from Galilee to the outer fringe of Samaria. And for you and for me, that may not mean a whole lot. But in that time and in that culture, if you were of the Jewish background, you did everything you could to avoid getting anywhere near the people of Samaria. You didn't want to talk to them. You didn't want to interact with them. You didn't want to exchange on any level. And we see how Jesus crashes through that in another place in the Gospel of John with the woman at the well. But as we heard with our gospel reading tonight, there's another layer of the situation that it's making that's making things very difficult for interaction. And we heard it tonight, and it's a disease known as leprosy. Now, sometimes in Scripture, we see that word, and it could be a reference to any number of various skin diseases. But the takeaway is all the same. If you had leprosy, you didn't have much contact with other people. You were kept at a distance. In fact, if you were coming close to anybody else, you had to broadcast to everybody else that you were in their vicinity. And when people heard that, they kept their distance from you. And they kept you as an outsider, and they treated you as such as well. But what we see Jesus do in this text is just this. Jesus crosses over the things that separate. If we look at this gospel text, we see Jesus do what he always does, what he's good at. Jesus crosses over the things that separate. So in other words, instead of backpedaling and cruising on to Galilee and some other far-off place, Jesus stays in the situation, whereas anybody else would maybe backpedal and head for the hills. And as he does that, we see this. Jesus lives and ministers as a mobile grace place. Let me show that again. Jesus ministers and lives as a mobile grace place. In that situation, he engages the situation, he crosses over the things that would otherwise separate, and he meets people where they're at with tangible love and compassion and mercy and hope. And at the end of the day, that changes the dynamic, that changes the life of these 10 men who have been afflicted with this disease. And as we heard, only one of the 10, when healed, came back to the Lord to give him thanks for all the work and the effort Jesus did to cross the things that would separate. As I thought about that for myself this week and for our time tonight, I landed on this question. And I'd like to ask you as well, where is God calling you to be a mobile grace place? Where is God calling you to be a mobile grace place, to cross over the things that are currently causing separation? Now, what does that mean? I recognize that as family and friends gather this week for turkey and stuffing and salad and pie and then repeat the next day and repeat the following day. There are also some family dynamics that make for some uncomfortable situations. And maybe some of the things that cause separation are things such as pride or a hard heart or anger or something from the past. And whatever it is, the result is the same, that there's some degree of separation that needs to be bridged, needs to be crossed over, needs to be engaged. So my questions to you tonight, once again, are these. What would it look like for you to be a mobile place of grace this week, to embrace the attitude and heart of Jesus that sees us go across the uncomfortable gaps to connect with someone else with the same kind of grace, mercy, and forgiveness that he gives to you and to me purely out of who he is? What would it look like to take a step maybe across the room and to sit next to the person that maybe we'd rather not like to? Or what would it look like next week when we go back to work after we've slept off the food coma? What would it look like for us to go to the person at work that's maybe hard for us to engage? What would it look like for us to cross that degree of separation? What would it look like for us to maybe send an email this week or a text message or a phone call that sees us moving in the same kind of pace and degree that our Lord Jesus does? Tonight we remember the ways in which Jesus crosses over the things that separate for you and for me. Our sins, our baggage, our past, our mistakes, the things that we've done to maybe push other people away and keep them at a distance. The things that Jesus crosses over, such as death, the grave, and Satan. The things that try to keep us separated from the Lord, from our God. Jesus crosses over those divides, those degrees of separation for you and for me. And he acts and he lives and he serves as a mobilized place of grace. Jesus doesn't wait for people to come to him. In fact, we see this time and time again in scriptures. Jesus goes to people in their place of hurt, their place of brokenness, their place of pain, their place of confusion, their place of anxiety and depression and struggle and illness. Jesus engages. So tonight, and I'm going to close on this, where is God calling you to be a mobile place of grace? Maybe tomorrow or next week as you go back to work or as you spend time with your family or neighbors or others this following week. And where's that degree of separation that God is calling you to cross over in his name so that at the end of the day, someone else gets to experience the same kind of grace, mercy, and forgiveness that God gives to you and to me through Jesus? May God guide you in being mobilized places of grace this week, next week, and the days to come. In Jesus' name, amen.